Is there someone that you might think of, someone from perhaps early in your life who saved you, who changed the course of your life, who picked you up when you were down, or had a powerful, powerful influence on you? When I was a grade 5 student, I didn't know it, but I was in trouble academically because after 4 years of elementary school, I had not learned how to read. All my classmates could read. I couldn't read. And a person came into my life who changed that. She was a graduate teacher, fresh out of school, from England, who'd come to our little school, and she was teaching the grades 4, 5, and 6. And I was held back to repeat grade 5 so that I could learn to read. Miss Helen truly rescued me. She helped me learn to read. She introduced me to the wonder of books. She introduced me to a life of excitement and adventure. She inspired in me a love of nature. She filled my imagination with worlds that could be investigated in books, in stories, and through the lives of other people. She gave me a love of the water, of the sea, of boating, and the importance of family, friends, companions, and especially mentors. I'm really grateful for that person in my life because I was lost until then, and I didn't know it. You know, infants have been called a tabula rasa or a blank slate because an infant is born into the world with a few basic instincts, but no knowledge, no ability to care for itself, to survive. If something were to happen to the people around that infant, it would die in no time at all because it couldn't possibly care for itself. In a lot of ways, we're like the earth that is described in the opening words of the book of Genesis. Let's read that from your pew card, your bulletin. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And if that isn't a picture of infancy, I don't know what is. But it's also a picture of our life in so many times when we are lost. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. We all walk in darkness. We all have times when we just don't know. We have states of life where we feel empty, where we feel formless, where we just don't know. And it isn't just in infancy or early childhood that we feel that way. We need the light. We need the truth to show us the way, to show us what the divine plan is. Because, you know, the Lord creates each one of us as a unique reflection of his love and embodiment of some of his wisdom. And we need to learn the way to become that person he has created us to be. We need the light to show the truth to show us the way, to find his plan, to find the path to happiness, the path that leads to a relationship with him. And so on the outside cover of your bulletin, there's a quote from Heaven and Hell that says, "Because the Lord in the heavens is divine truth, and divine truth is light, the Lord is called the light in the Word, as is the truth that comes from him." And you might have noticed that the Lord doesn't actually ever step in and take over in your life. It's like we don't even know he's there because it's so important that we be free. But he is continually sending people into our lives who can be what we might call the body of Christ, right? The church or parents or teachers or other people who have goods and truths that they've received from the Lord that they use to do the Lord's work in the world. The Lord works through the people he has created indirectly. That is to say, he works indirectly through us, and yet it's always the Lord who's doing the work. We're taught that the Lord alone teaches and leads. And as a minister or as a parent, it's really, or as a, just an everyday person, it's really useful to remember that the Lord alone teaches and leads. You know, I get up here and I preach a sermon, but as my sermon mentor once said, it's not the sermon you preach that matters, it's the sermon people hear, or the sermon they preach to themselves while you're talking. And, you know, again and again, I have people come out, you know, they thank me for the sermon, or they might say, "Remember last week you talked about this or that?" And I know I didn't talk about this or that at all, but I nod my head because I know that then the Lord taught them something while I was talking that they needed to hear. And that's how it works. The Lord alone teaches and leads. It's for the sake of our freedom that he works that way, so that we don't feel like we're compelled to believe in God or compelled to make the choices that he wants us to make. And he also does it because he wants to be in partnership or relationship with us. And when we as individuals feel called to help somebody else, we enter into a partnership with the Lord, and it opens us up to experience the joy of heaven. We feel his presence as we do his work. We feel the joy when that person we're helping's eyes light up and they get it. I can't imagine what it was like for Miss Helene to see me going in the course of a year from a child who couldn't read at all and didn't understand hardly what books were for, to one who was a voracious devourer of anything he could read. What a great partnership she had there. So if you turn to your bulletin, let's read Matthew 5, 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world." You, the Lord mostly says that he is the light of the world, but in Matthew he said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and praise your Father in the heavens." And isn't that partnership, again, that they might see your good works, let your light shine so that they can see your good works and give God the praise. And it's so important that we, when we're doing good works, and the people who are receiving from us when we're doing good works, see that it's the work of the Lord. The role of the church as the body of Christ is essential to the human race because of those needs. It's essential that people come into relationship with God and work to serve the world. And the church provides the opportunity for us to do that, to serve one another and to serve the greater community. But the church also provides a way for people to discover God in freedom. You know, you can go from church to church, place to place, theology to theology, doctrine to doctrine, looking for the answer that satisfies and leads you on the life, on the path that you're leading. And when you find it, you know, thank God I found it. You know, it was the Lord bringing you to that. So if we read in Secrets of Heaven in your lesson number 637, if the Lord's church were completely obliterated from the planet, the human race could never survive. Every last person would die. The church resembles the heart, as noted earlier in a previous paragraph. As long as the heart thrives, so can surrounding organs and limbs. But as soon as the heart dies, everything else dies too. The Lord's church on earth is like the heart. From it, the human race, including people outside the church, receive life. So in many ways, you know, it's like the oxygenated blood of ideas that come from a desire to help and bless other people carries out through so many different and unseen and unknown ways to affect other people, to affect the culture in which we live. So, you know, that's a burden that the Lord is placing on the church, and in each one of us as individuals is the church. To the extent that we have some connection with God, some looking to His Word, some effort to follow the path that He has set in front of us, then we are the church, and we are serving this vital function of keeping the human race alive. On a real small scale sometimes, but still. You know, like that teacher, save my life. I'm here because of her today. And we don't always feel up to the task. We don't always feel up to the task of this great burden to carry the message, to serve one another, to offer that light to a person who's on a dark path. We don't feel up to the task. You remember the story of Moses and the burning bush? God came to Moses and he said to Moses, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. Moses says, I'm a stutterer. I can't do this. And he tried in every way possible to get the Lord to send somebody else. What he didn't realize is that the Lord had prepared Moses from the very beginning to be the one person best equipped to lead them out of Egypt. Moses, a little Jewish boy who escaped death because his mom put him in a basket in the river, and he was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter and taken and raised in the palace or in the king's house, educated, prepared and trained until he messed up and killed an Egyptian and had to flee Egypt, where he went off into the wilderness and found this priest of Midian, and he learned ancient spiritual traditions, the ancient stories of the Word which had been with the human race. And it was there that the Lord spoke to him in the burning bush. Moses didn't know the Lord had been leading him all his life. He just thought he was inadequate. The Lord is leading each one of us all through our lives to perhaps countless moments when we can be uniquely of service. You know, people sometimes will ask members of my congregation, I need some help. I'm struggling with my children, or I just don't know what to believe, or whatever it is. You know, they come up to their friend. Maybe it's a friend that they know from work. This person, member of my congregation, has somehow managed to communicate to this person in their life that maybe they've got answers that they need. So they come up to their friend at work and they say, I need to talk to you about my teenagers, or I need to talk to you about my marriage, or I need to talk to you about a struggle that I'm having with lust, whatever. And you kind of open your eyes wide in panic, and you're just like Moses. You say, no, send somebody else, please. And you say to the person, oh, you know, come to church on Sunday and I'll get you to talk to the minister, because he's got the answers. But that person chose you. Or to put it in a more true way, the Lord chose you and prepared you to be there in that person's life at that moment. And the Lord helped that person to see that you were the person they needed to talk to. You might be the one person in that person's whole life who is actually equipped to help them see the Lord and make a change. And you know, it isn't necessarily what we know that prepares us. Knowledge is great. Knowledge about life is good. The minister may know a lot of teachings because he's been to seminary school for years. But that doesn't mean that he's walked the path that you've walked, or it doesn't mean that he's experienced the darkness that you've experienced. Doesn't mean that he has the answers that the other person has. Would you, if you were going to go on a bushwalk somewhere through the wilderness, would you want to hire a guide who had read the guidebook? Or a guide who'd actually walk the path? I mean, that's the way it is. So we might not feel worthy. The person might bring up feelings in us when they ask for our help that even make us feel less worthy. How can I help this person with their parenting of their teenagers when I know I was a total failure at parenting my own? You know? How can I? So I feel this tremendous sense of inadequacy and guilt about my own parenting when someone asks me to help them be a better parent. But they've seen something that we maybe didn't see, and certainly the Lord knows that we have something to offer that person who is in a state of fear and doubt and despair. So you might have heard of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics is a program where people who can't get sober. And you can imagine how much regret a person who has been an active, practicing, even down living in the gutter type of alcoholic. They've ruined their marriage. They've lost everything. They've gone into bankruptcy. They've let down their family and friends because they were drunk all the time. And then they get sober. And they get sober. And there's a passage in the book which alcoholics follow called the Big Book. And it says, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Isn't that amazing? You say to an alcoholic who has destroyed his life and everyone around him, you won't regret the past and you won't wish to shut the door on it or pretend it never happened. You won't. No matter how far down you have gone, you will see that your experience may be used to benefit others. And it's important to honor our own life experience, to respect our own struggles, and when the opportunity is right and the need is there, to share how hard it was for us, how bad we were, and how we got through that, whatever it was in our life. We can be tools in the Lord's hands in those special moments in our lives. And, you know, the Lord is the one teacher. He is the light of the world. He is the one who wants us to experience the joy of sharing the light. And we are inadequate, but we're not alone. Jesus told his disciples, "And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." And, you know, you might not be taken to prison or standing up in trial trying to defend yourself. It may just be that opportunity to talk to a coworker about a problem they're having. It's going to be the Lord who puts the words in your mouth, the Lord who draws out of your memory and experience and life to help them. So Miss Helene was fresh out of school, first-time teacher, and surely she felt inadequate. And surely when either my parents or the school principal said, "You know, you've got this student, Glenn, and we're putting him back a year because he's failed to learn to read," I can imagine her saying, "You'll just need to get a tutor for him." Or saying, "He has dyslexia. He has dyslexia, and you're going to have to get professional help because I can't fix him." Instead, she shared her own love of reading, her own love of books, her own love of her uncle who knew 6 languages. She told so many stories to me. Read so many stories to me that just said, "Oh, this is what books are all about." It was wonderful. She saved that boy's life, and she wasn't afraid. She knew it wasn't her speaking. It was the Holy Spirit. And you might not have been arrested or brought to trial, but the friend who asked for your help needs a witness who can share the Lord's light. Shine the light on the path that they're on. Don't be afraid. It's not you speaking. The Holy Spirit. And remember, you are the light of the world. Amen.